Hey y'all, you're listening to Criminalist Behavior Podcast. Today we're on episode number 13 and we're going to be talking about how a mother threw her almost two-year-old off of a Louisiana bridge while abandoning her other two children in a car. If this is your first time listening, hi, my name is Sarah Soutier and I'm your host for Criminalist Behavior Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the show and I hope you enjoy it. Trigger warning. This episode may contain content of a graphic nature, including descriptions of physical violence against adults and children. Listener discretion is advised. So this case may not be a long one. It's more like a little mini episode, but I think this case still needs to be told. And this is local, like literally in the same town I live in. So, oh my God, it's crazy. So there's a apartment complex that I'm going to describe where the children and their mother lived. Four buildings all faced inward towards one another, creating a grassy courtyard where there's neighbors would watch the children play. And this was located at 1300 Ridgeville Avenue. Some had seen Asha Randolph, which is the mother of the children, with her children as they were playing on the morning of September 23rd, 2022. So, on September 23rd, 2022, at approximately 4:49 p.m. Central Standard Time, the Humble Police Department responded to the Liberty Street Bridge in reference to a call that was made stating that a child was thrown from the bridge into Bayou Terrebonne. And the name of the bridge was Liberty Street Bridge. Neighbors of the woman accused of tossing her son into Bayou Terrebonne were stunned to learn that it was the woman that they saw each and every day. The woman accused of throwing her 18-month-old boy from Liberty Bridge name was Asha Randolph. And once she threw him into the water, she apparently had a change of heart because she then went in after him to rescue him. The child was found to be 18 months old and was transported to a local medical facility where he was treated and he recovered from his injuries. The bridge was only a few feet off of the water and the boy wasn't seriously injured. But the fact that she threw him off of the bridge into the water at 18 month old, I mean, so that's a lot. I mean, not too many 18 month olds can swim. I mean, and then being thrown by your mother, that baby had to be terrified. So a neighbor of the Liberty Street Bridge stated, open quotations, when things like this happen, all I can think about of is how this is not the home I grew up in, close quotations. And another person named Jason Mathern stated, open quotations, it just seems like down here there's a lot more folks that are distressed, a lot more folks living on the streets that are homeless, panhandling, and people suffering from mental illness, close quotations. People who live near the Liberty Street Bridge in Houma, Louisiana, really can't wrap their heads around how a mother threw her 18-month-old son into the bayou. Police say that the mother then also jumped after him after she immediately had a change of heart. Lieutenant Travis Terrio, Chief of Detectives of the Houma Police Department, said he was on the force for 23 years and he has never seen anything like that. It's always something pretty disheartening when you see what a parent could do to their own child. Houma Police Department say that when they got to the scene, the little boy was conscious, so he wasn't unconscious at all, and he seemed to be very responsive. He underwent doctor's care, and he ended up making a full recovery. There were obvious signs that the little boy ingested water into his system, so he had to be treated for that, but he made a full recovery. The mother, Asha Randolph, she was 30 years old, and she ended up being booked with attempted first-degree murder, obstruction of justice, and two counts of child desertion. and she was booked into Terrebonne Parish Complex. That's because one of her older children was left in the car, and the other was playing close to water's edge. So, the police department went to Asher Randolph's apartment in Thibodaux, but the family didn't want to speak, and they just asked for privacy. They didn't want to be involved in all that. Neighbors near the bridge still can't believe that this happened. They had a case, which I'm going to cover as our next case, that happened literally a month prior to this, where there was another incident that was involving a child, but the child succumbed to the injuries. And we'll talk about that on our next case. Those living in the apartments said Asha kept to herself and was mostly seen walking her children to the bus stop on a daily day for school. One neighbor said that her kids would go into his home and play in his living room. And a neighbor named Ray Robinson stated, open quotations, "He came in on that Friday. He played with my change that I used to wash my clothes with. And he said, I let them come on in and his little sisters came on in with him." Close quotations. So Ray Robinson, the neighbor, stated that he lived two doors down from Asher Randolph and her kids, and he often kept his front door open. He had a magnetic bug net that could be seen through the doorway and two box fans running in his apartment. He lived in an apartment for about 2 years and said that Asha and her kids moved into that apartment right before the school year began back in 2022. Ray Robinson stated that he seen Asha Randolph walk her children to the bus stop in the morning and then seen the two young girls walk past this apartment after school. He said it wasn't uncommon for the young boy to walk into his apartment and he let the boy play in his living room. They were close neighbors, very friendly. And he said that the sisters would never be too far behind the little boy. And that would be the ones that to take the boy home once they were finished done playing. And people asked if he ever heard or saw anything unusual, and he stated that he never heard or saw any marks that would raise concerns through Asha and the kids in that apartment. And he said, open quotations, "I never saw no signs of abuse. I could tell if something ain't right because they'd be crying or they'll be bruising if they are doing something over there, but they're keeping it quiet." Close quotations. Asher Randolph's upstairs neighbor, Jeremiah Marshall, said he never saw her unless he passed her walking her children to school. He said the kids could be noisy, but no more than children would normally be. I mean, young children, of course, they're playing, being loud, running around. He said that he only ever heard her fuss her children one time, but it was just because the children were being very loud. And he stated, I mean, at night, half the time, there's yelling and screaming like normal children would do. But he said, they'd be loud as hell, but he understood, hey, look, that's kids, right? I remember living in an apartment complex when my children were little. They're teenagers now, but of course, children run, laugh, and play. And if you're in an upstairs apartment, your downstairs neighbors would not appreciate that. And Laura, let me tell y'all, we used to get into it all the time because they kept saying all kind of stuff about my kids playing. Like, that is your choice. You chose to get that bottom apartment, deal with it. I cannot force my little kids to be very still and quiet because you want to sleep during the day. Look, I could try. And I respect you coming to me, but at the same time, you're not about to get stupid with me because my kids are playing. That's just not going to happen. So I can understand where he's at. But at the end of the day, kids will be kids. So Asha's room was on the corner of her apartment building. And because it was on the corner, a nearby neighbor named Devante lived right behind her, and there was a walkway in between the two, and Devante's eyes got wide when he heard what happened with Asha Randolph being accused of throwing her child in the bayou. He couldn't believe it. He said that he seen the kids playing that morning, and whenever he went to the gas station and came back with some candies for them, Asha had seemed to have a lot on her mind. And one day she got out of car and left the car door open and forgot about it from 9 a.m. until he wouldn't tell her about it until 4 p.m. So that was just one instance that Asha was just like not even really thinking. She left her car wide open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. until he wouldn't tell her, hey, look, you left your car door open. But I mean, as with little kids, like, your mind gets preoccupied. I mean, as long as your kids are good, you got a sight on your kids, you may forget to leave that car door open. It is what it is. Kids can make you forget. And hell, I know I'm a forgetful person, but anyways, she left that car door open. He stated, I mean, it was open for hours. He said, that's a while to keep your car door open. Anybody could get in it. And there was a lawyer that moved a few doors down from that same month. He said that he saw Asha Randolph around apartments with her kids and stated that she never seemed to be out of it or looked depressed by any means. He stated, open quotations, bro, she didn't look like no bad mom or nothing like that. She looked like she loved the kids, close quotations. So the investigation revealed that the child was thrown from the bridge by his mom for an unknown reason. There is no known motive. Moments later, Asha entered the Bayou Terrebonne and pulled her child from the water. Officers also learned that at the time of the incident, Asha had left her 8 and 6-year-old child unsupervised. So the 8-year-old stayed in the car, but the 6-year-old was found wandering off by the waterway. And that's why she got those charges of child desertion. The child was taken to the hospital for treatment, and Asha Randolph was immediately arrested and charged with attempted first-degree murder, along with those child desertion charges. Authorities said that a preliminary investigation could not reveal any reason as to why a mother would choose to throw her child off of a bridge. They don't believe that she was under influence of drugs or alcohol at that time. So, we have 18-month-old son, which is what who was thrown off of the Liberty Street Bridge into Bayou Terrebonne. We have an 8-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little girl. I'm not going to give names, but just know that these children were in the care of their 30-year-old mother, Asha Randolph. Bystanders stated after they heard about what happened, she needs help. Normal people don't do this. Something triggered this. And just because you never felt like this does not mean it does not happen to people. So they asked that people pray for her instead of condemning her and pray for the baby and thank God that he is okay. Another person stated, I feel bad for her. I can't imagine the weight she must have had on her shoulders. It doesn't excuse what she did, but depression, PTSD and other burdens that she had probably were just too much for her to deal with. There's another person who made a comment of, people are hurting out here. Everyone has an issue, something that they are dealing with, grief, pain, loss of a job, income, etc. You know that prison system does not have any type of rehabilitation for mental health issues, but my God, I do hope that someone steps up to rebuild the mental health care system. And finally, another one stated, what she needs is mental health care. Women need help to cope with life. She realized her actions and jumped in to save her child. It was wrong, but give her the help she needs and place her child with a safe relative. Now, mind you, with all these bystanders making these comments, I do believe that, yes, PTSD, depression, and all, I mean, she must have really had some stuff on her mind, but I don't care what happens in my life. And believe you me, I've gone through the ringer. I've never, ever once thought about harming my child, throwing my child, killing my child, or any of that. I mean, I was in some dark places, don't get me wrong, but none of them involved my children. None of them. In fact, my children is what saved me and got me out of those dark places. So for her to choose to do this, I just will never understand. So, like I said, Asha Malika Randolph, 30 years old, was booked in Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana for obstruction of justice, hindrance, delay. She was booked on September 23rd, 2022 at the age of 30. And her charges were obstruction of justice. And her bond for that charge was $5,000. And then she had child desertion, 2 counts. Bond amount was $50,000. First degree murder charge, attempted first degree murder, I'm sorry. That bond was set at $2 million. And another charge she had on her was theft, and that bond amount was $500. So altogether, $2,055,500 is her bond. And there was an officer, Mathern, he stated, "I think there's just a lack of places for people to go to. There's no outreach programs anymore. Some of the programs that were likely here years ago have been phased out. And so the burden of mental health of the community ends up in the hospital system or the criminal justice system." And I fully believe that. I mean, we used to have a hospital called Bayou Oaks, or some people know it as the Fifth Floor at Chabert Medical Center. But either way, we used to have these mental health places where people can go and get some help that they need, but they don't have that no more. Bayou Oaks done shut down many, many, many years ago. There's a Mary Birds Perkins Cancer Center in place of that, and Women's Labor and Delivery Floor. So that is null and void. The Fifth Floor at Chabert, I do believe, is still acting as a mental health place, but I'm still not 100 on that, and it's nowhere near where it needs to be. People who that are relatives feel that their loved ones need to be committed. I'm not sure if anybody knows that process, but I mean, you could call the sheriff's office, do a wellness check, or you could file what's called an OPC. An OPC is an order of protective custody. Now, mind you, there are certain stipulations that go into place. Back in the day, whenever I was working for the coroner's office with Gary, I do know that basically each case, I think either you A, have to be on drugs, or you have to be at a place where you harm yourself or danger to others in order to have that order of protective custody put on you. Now, mind you, that order of protective custody is to commit somebody against their will. So if a person is willing to seek help, then an OPC is not needed. But like I said, there's not too many programs out here, especially in this area. You need to literally travel further up north Louisiana, but then there's still not that many places to go. And also, if you're a single mom, who's going to take care of your kids while you're trying to get this help? There's not too many people that have that village that takes to raise children or have the means for people to help them and watch their children while they seek the help that they need. So therefore, they go and they try to deal with life. They may see a doctor, try to get some anxiety or depression meds, but at the end of the day, there's really no place for them to go. I still don't think that's any excuse for anyone to do harm to another person or themselves, but I get it. I mean, once you're in a dark place, I mean, you just got to try to figure out how to get yourself out of that dark place and get the help that you need. And obviously get the help that you need with your children while you're seeking that help as well. Because a mom, or a dad for that matter, I mean, you're never off. You are never off. It's not like a job that you punch in at 9 and punch out at 5. No, you're on call 24/7. You're always on the clock. So it can be very stressing. So Officer Parr stated this community comes together, you know, after hurricanes, after tragedies, and something like this, I mean, we're really going to have to come together, and we have to do better. We got to do better. And I agree with that. We have to do better. We need to get these programs and places out for these people to be able to seek the help that they need and they deserve. And it's not to shame anyone, because everyone goes through things, and sometimes life is just really hella hard. You don't know what the next person has gone through. You really have no idea. A person could seem like they got it all going on for them, but inside and behind closed doors, you never know what may be happening or what they're dealing with. Life can be tough as hell. Just know that there is people that care. Please do try to seek out the help that you need. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Like I said, this is like a little mini episode. So I really, really thank you for being here. And I will be posting another episode probably tomorrow. So if you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on all your local podcast apps. And be sure to come back to listen to how this brutal murder of Ezekiel Harris took place. Literally the month before this mom threw her baby off of the bridge. And until then, this is your host, Sarah Soudier. And don't forget, like I said, to like, share, follow, or subscribe to your favorite podcast, A Criminalist Behavior, Louisiana True Crime Podcast. Again, don't forget, we do have our website up and running. We have different Patreon packages you could choose from. And depending on what package you get, then, you know, different goodies out there for you. If you have any questions or any cases you would like me to cover, any comments you want to make on this case or previous cases I've done, or just in general, just want to reach out. If you want to be a guest on the podcast, just reach out to me. You could email me at criminalbehaviorpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on your local podcast apps and send me a comment. You also have options to look us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I mean, you can reach me anywhere. Send me a message, a comment, whatever you may, you know, want to talk about. And I want to thank you, and I hope you enjoy your night.